Good morning. I always like to start with good news, and I had both bad news and good news. The bad news was when Kendall came in this morning, he told me that Ron was scheduled to do special music, and since I was filling in for Ron, I had to do special music. The good news for all of your sake is I told him very politely that I was going to pass. This being the first Sunday of the new year, real often people will spend time talking about New Year's resolutions. I have a horrible track record with New Year's resolutions. Several years ago, this probably goes back about 10 years ago, give or take, I made one resolution that I have kept, and that was no more New Year's resolutions. Today, this isn't really a New Year's resolution type of lesson, but if you are the type that are inclined to make those type of resolutions, I want to plant one idea with you, and that is to concentrate on Galatians chapter 6 and verse 2. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 2 says, "Bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ." And that's what I want to talk about this morning, bearing one another's burdens. The image that I have on the screen behind me just shows two people walking down a mountain path, massive burdens on their back. But if we could go ahead and go to the next slide. I want to start off with a little bit of news that you may have missed from Christmas Day. I want to use this as a metaphor. We're going to refer back to this in a few minutes. But on Christmas Day down in Paoli, Indiana, there was a truck carrying bottled water. It was on its way to a Walmart store. The driver attempted to cross a bridge, and as you can see from the slide, they didn't get very far. The entire truck didn't even make it onto the bridge because the truck was too big. The truck was tall enough that it started taking out some of the structural members across the top of the bridge. The weight of the truck was much too great for that bridge. That bridge was a historic bridge built in 1880. It had a maximum capacity of 6 tons. The truck, with all of the bottled water on it, weighed 35 tons. The bridge, they're still trying to figure out, does it have to be demolished or is there any way of repairing it? But I want you to think for just a moment about what went through the driver's mind when they realized this was a bad idea. Like I said, the truck didn't even fully make it onto the bridge. They got partially onto the bridge and the bridge started to collapse. And at that point, it doesn't matter how quick they hit the brakes. It doesn't matter how fast they drop it into reverse. The damage is done. And I want you to think about minutes later when the police show up. What do you say? Sorry, I messed up. I ignored the sign that said weight limit. But the damage is done. That driver has a pretty big burden on them right now because of the damage that's been done. There's going to be some legal consequences because they were a commercial driver. But like I said, I want to use this bridge as an analogy or a metaphor. We're going to come back to it in just a few minutes. Right now, what I want to do, though, is shift our thinking away from that, and let's go to a spiritual application. The gospel writers each had their own writing style. They were all inspired, but different writers recorded different details for us in the gospel. And what I want you to do, you can follow along with me on the screen, or you can read it out of the Bible yourself. But as we look at the next couple of passages, I would like for you to really do your very best to picture yourself being present. We're going to look sequentially at some things that happened in the upper room, in the Garden of Gethsemane, in the courtyard of the high priest. We're going to look at several things, but I'm going to be jumping around between the gospel writers because I want to draw out certain details that different writers recorded for us. But imagine yourself being there. This is in Matthew chapter 26. We're going to look at 20 and 21, then jump down to verse 31. This is Jesus talking to his apostles in the upper room. Matthew records it this way. "When it was evening, he reclined at the table with the 12. And as they were eating, he said, 'Truly I say to you, one of you will betray me.'" Dropping down to verse 31. "Then Jesus said to them, 'You will all fall away because of me this night. For it is written, I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered. But after I am raised up, I will go before you to Galilee.' Peter answered him, though they all fall away, because of you, I will never fall away. And I want you to think about this. If you're one of the 12 sitting around the table with Jesus as they're eating the Last Supper, and Jesus has just said, all of you are going to fall away, not all of you but one, then you can imagine the arguments about who the one is. Jesus said, you're all going to fall away. And Peter, contradicting the Lord, doesn't just say, I won't fall away. He kind of throws the others under the bus using our terminology today. Lord, even though all of them deny you, even though all of them fall away, I won't. Jesus isn't buying it. Jesus said to him, truly I tell you, this very night, before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times. Peter said to him, even if I must die with you, I will not deny you. And all the disciples said the same. Let's put this in a little bit of context, a couple of things that led up to this night. If you go back and look in Matthew and Mark, they all record different things. But if you go back and look at some of the gospel accounts, in the book of Luke records an incident that occurred as Jesus and the apostles were walking to Capernaum. It says, and when, this is Luke 9:33, and when he was in the house, he asked them, what were you discussing on the way? And I picture Jesus maybe walking a few steps ahead of them, and Jesus is hearing some bickering behind him. And Jesus doesn't say a word as they're walking to Capernaum. But when they get to the house, in my mind, I picture Jesus calling everyone in here, hey guys, come here a minute. What were you guys arguing about? What were you discussing on the way? But they kept silent, for on the way they had argued with one another about who was the greatest. 12 apostles following the Lord, they're arguing about who's the greatest. That was in Luke chapter 9. Shortly after that, in Luke chapter 10, and James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came to him and said to him, teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask. And he said to them, what do you want me to do for you? And they said, grant us one to sit on your right hand and one to sit on your left in glory. And Jesus said to them, you do not know what you are asking. Dropping down to verse 41, and when the 10 heard of it, they began to be indignant at James and John. We see more bickering going on. James and John going to Jesus, making a very bold request. In glory, I want to sit on your right and let him sit on your left. We want the places of prominence. We want to be the greatest. And the other 10, when they heard about it, they didn't just laugh it off. They started getting upset about it, maybe kicking themselves. Why didn't we think of asking for that? But the whole point is there was some friction among the apostles. And here Peter is on the night that Jesus is going to be taken by the soldiers. Here is Peter making this statement, though all of them fall away, I won't fall away. Well, let's see. What do you think the other apostles thought about Peter's statement? My guess is that probably didn't go over well with them. I want to continue in this progression of events, jumping over to John chapter 18, because John records some details that others don't. John chapter 18, beginning in verse 3.